This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports to the max. Matt Brookmeyer is with the Edmonton Eskimos, but when we last had him on, he was getting ready to head to camp. He's a local lad. He's been in the game for a long time, as they say. And then they were shut down. And I thought, we think about the NFL and how they get through it. What about the CFL? What are the ramifications to college football, etc.? Matt, how are you tonight? Happy Thanksgiving.
I'm good. The same to you, Maxie, and everybody out there. Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to it. I appreciate the opportunity.
Explain your past and how you ended up in Edmonton. It's an interesting story as you guys move around in those careers.
Yeah, my past is really based in the NFL, and then from there, various leagues, kind of the fringe leagues that have been around. I was in the NFL. I was in the UFL back when Benny was there. I've been in the Canadian League a couple of times. I worked in NFL Europe for a year. I worked in the Arena League, helping to start a team there, the Spring League, things like that. So it's been a wild and crazy ride, but I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Is that it? I mean, are they all fun in different ways?
They're all fun afterwards. You don't quite realize what you're getting into because sometimes the trouble themselves, the things you have to go through to get it done. I think when guys are in the NFL, they don't necessarily, we lose the maybe the appreciation for the hard work that it took to build those leagues. And sometimes that's what's going on, right now, with especially with the Canadian League.
So the CFL, when did you get word that it was going to be shut down for the season? Did they shut it down temporarily and then the whole season? I don't remember how that went down sequentially.
They gave us, basically the league shut it down when the border closed down back in, I can't remember when they closed the border, I want to say May. And that's when the league realized it had a temporary shutdown on its hands because it wasn't going to be able to get any of the American kids or guys like me, coaches, things like that, across the border, even now. And so we thought that they would play maybe in a hub city because, Edmonton hosted a hub city in the NHL, and they did fantastic and did a wonderful job and, all those things. But they couldn't come together and find a way to do it. And the league's revenue, Maxie, is really based on fans showing up at the gate. And this is not a TV-driven league. There's just not enough TV money up there. Or down here, we do show it down here a little bit, but there's not enough TV money for them to sustain it. And so when we got to about August, I think, the commissioner went to the parliament. They have a parliament there in Canada.
Yep.
And he requested funds, and they put it on the docket, and they just couldn't get it done. The numbers just started telling us that it wasn't going to work. And then finally, in late August, basically, is when we got the word that it was done, that it was over for this year. And it's the first time in 118 years they haven't played.
Wow.
They even played during wartime, I guess. They played one game to keep the streak going or something like that.
Huh. Now, financially, did people get paid? What happened?
Well, that's probably the toughest thing. I actually got, and frankly, we got furloughed at the end of March, the day after the Canadian Football League.
Yeah, and that's even tougher because you don't know if you're going back, so you don't know if you're on hold or if this is something that's going to be a while, right?
Right. So, and it was really tough. I'm in a fortunate position, but we have a lot of coaches, and a lot of them are Americans, and they didn't have necessarily a spot to land.
Yeah.
And they had a contract this year, and that contract unfortunately got furloughed, and they couldn't go and do really anything. There was all the seats were filled, as they say.
Yeah. That late in the game is pretty. Every here now and then, but you're not going to have a mass movement.
No, you're not. And so these guys unfortunately had to sit home. a lot of them were able to collect different, you know, there was different funds available to them, you know, based upon the fact that they had a contract with a legitimate company in a different country. They were being paid in American funds. So they were able to recoup some of it, just like other people were able to participate in the various programs that were available. But these guys, you know, I just feel bad for the coaches and things, and the players especially, because let's think about it. This is, you know, these players, this is their livelihood, and a lot of them just didn't have jobs this year, and so there's these unfortunate subsets.
And that salary is not coming back. When it is up and running, is it financially, does it flourish? Is it just viable? What is it?
Well, I think what they did was they finally realized that they weren't, as a league as a whole, of the 9 teams in the Canadian Football League, 6, I want to make sure I get this right, 6 are community owned, have the same basic structure as the Green Bay Packers,
okay,
and have community boards, community stock, have large reserves, things like that. So these teams are run not necessarily as a huge profit maker. They're run, but they're also now run as a, you know, we can run a negative balance, or, you know, we can't keep running monetarily negative for many years. That's the problem.
Now, what, you know, there are a lot of kids that bank on the CFL, and, you know, or they start out with an NFL dream, and that's not going to, we had Jeff Erdman on last night from Rosemont, his son.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, Jackson, of course, had a great year at St. John's and was hoping to play somewhere.
I actually worked out Jackson.
Did you?
I worked him out with the Zylstra brothers, and I can't say too much about it, but there was an article written in the Edmonton Journal, and we've still got on our public negotiation list the Zylstra, not Shane, who's in, I'm sorry, which one's
his brother?
His brother.
Yep.
His brother Brandon. We got Brandon on our negotiation list, so we own his rights in Canada.
And does that generally mean that he probably would have had a spot there had everything gone as, I mean, if not Edmonton, somewhere?
If he wasn't on a plane with me, I was going to find a way to make sure he was, because the kid could play.
Okay. So and now his everything's left in doubt for him, too. And his,
right,
his brother played his way into the NFL through the CFL.
That's exactly right. And so these kids and a guy like Jackson, you know, that can't afford to go anywhere else or do anything else, or Zylstra, these guys, they didn't have homes because they didn't bring in, and none of these NFL teams had these off-season workouts. Mm-hmm. They weren't able to bring in kids to mini camps. They weren't, and so there's a whole kind of tranche of players that if they hang in there, right, and this thing and everything comes back, there's spots for them, you know, up and down the line.
Except they'll have more competition now, right, because you have another graduating class of seniors in college.
Right, that's the drawback. But if they're committed to it, then I would ask them all to just hang in there because there is going to be opportunities for them, and I think the opportunities are going to be better. And I think we're all going to be better. We're going to be a better run, you know, especially up there, Canada, in a better run league, because we can all find, you know, various ways to save money and make it a better product. Interesting enough, we also have to change our name. We can no longer be called the Edmonton Eskimos.
Well, what are you going to be?
Well, right now we are much similar to Washington. We are the Edmonton Football Club, and we have been that name for years. And you know, we made the move shortly after Washington did, and shortly after, before the season folded, to remove that name from our website and remove it from our, you know, going forward, and to pick out a new team name. So there's all kinds of moving parts up there.
Now, I would think, this top of my head, that Montreal and Toronto would have a distinct advantage just because of the size of the metropolitan area at fielding a better team, because they'd be more flush with cash. Is that true or not?
No, you know, well, yeah, they're flush. I mean, they're well-run teams. Those are two of the privately run teams still. It's ironic, though, the better attendance generally comes from what they call, I think this is right, the prairie provinces.
The prairie, right? Yeah, that's where you go hunt. If you can hunt ducks there, then you know it's probably a prairie province.
If I'm in Edmonton, anybody's welcome. I'm pretty sure I've been through when you cross in a north portal into the southern Saskatchewan, and I've driven up that road so many times, I never, you know, you're just, it's
How long does it take you by car to get from here to Edmonton?
19 and a half hours.
That didn't take you long to answer.
And believe me, you got to time it right, because in North Dakota, which is where you cross, because you got to go in North Portal, you have to take kind of that, I don't remember the time, but you take North Dakota basically at a 45 degree angle.
Yeah.
And to get to Minot, and basically you want to time it so it's dark, because there's
nothing
out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's nothing out there. So you time it right. But
and where do you stay? You want one stop in Canada, and you stay overnight one place?
Yeah, I just stopped just across the border in North Portal in a town called Weyburn. I would stop there. I would always stop there, even when I worked in Saskatchewan. So
okay,
just to get across the border and try to reset everything, and then try to figure out how many kilometers of gas I got left or something.
So the prairie towns are kind of like college towns, right? I mean, just like Minneapolis, the Gophers don't draw as well as they do in Iowa City kind of thing, right?
Absolutely. So up there, the junior hockey draws well, CFL draws well, curling and draws well, and basically that's what draws well up there. You know, because we also, in Edmonton, there's two junior teams. In Regina, there's a junior team. So they have hockey and all these other kind of things. So the towns have this, really. Edmonton's a huge city. Edmonton's a city of 4 million people almost. I mean, they have a plethora of entertainment options, and they draw well to a place called Olympic Stadium, but there's, you know, there's challenges everywhere. But those prairie towns, really, they're the ones that drive the driving force behind the fan attendance.
Now, somebody told me that Simone Lawrence, the former Gopher, was making big money in Canada. And I said, what's big money? And they were quoting me figures that I couldn't believe. What would a guy like that, how would he be doing right now?
He'd be, if a guy like Simone was still, you know, hanging around, and I think, I don't know where he's at, but he might be still in Hamilton, I'm not sure. But I don't want to quote anything verbatim by any means. But the likelihood that a guy like that, that's been there a long time, that the team leader makes six figures is good, but it would be a very, you know, it wouldn't be much above the six-figure number, if that makes sense.
No, I understand exactly what you're saying. These people are saying multi-million dollar, and I go, I don't think so. That doesn't sound right, even if you're playing well.
Well, now, when you get to quarterbacks, we pay. I mean, they'll pay a lot of money for quarterbacks up there.
Can you steal quarterbacks that are NFL caliber to the CFL?
You can steal them, you know, you can get them in because other guys missed them for some other reason.
Okay,
right?
But if they have a choice, they're going NFL.
They're always going to go the NFL. And then we did a study, really. It's really guys that have maybe been out for two draft cycles, have spent time bounced around the NFL, been on, you know, a two or three practice squads maybe, have gone on workout Tuesdays, you know, till they're blue in the face. And those are the guys that are more apt to, when you call them, to say, yeah, I'll come play. Because I'm ready to make X amount. I want to make some money playing this game. Yep. I want to do it while I'm still young.
I'm done flying to Philly because they got three guys coming in to be the third team quarterback, and they're looking at them, right?
It does. Yeah, it could be the quarterback. It could be the third team tackle or the eighth wide receiver. It doesn't matter. The advantage we have is they get frustrated by it. They come up there, they play well, and then if they do well, yeah, they're going to get a chance to come back. But we get the advantage of a guy who's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder and wants to play.
Now, right now in the U.S., obviously, when in the NFL teams, it's like a six-day quarantine just to bring a guy in. So even if you like him on Tuesday, he's not going to, you know, he might not play on Sunday if you need him. Now, most of those players obviously aren't going to be the top-line players, otherwise they wouldn't be available. But it does, and more room for pause, right? If I got to wait 6 days on a guy.
You know. A lot of these teams just moved all the workout days around. And basically, you know, I talk to NFL people, you know, on a fairly regular basis. And, you know, it's like, what day do we bring? Okay, let's bring him in on a Friday, have him sit in a hotel for 3 days, you know, blah.
They're starting to play that game, right?
They're playing this game, and you know, there are some unique challenges to play this game, but like these guys have said, there are some good things they have done, like expand, you know, the rules on IR and different
practice squad.
Like that. So, what's that?
The practice squad. Heck, you can be a 10-year vet and be in the practice squad, you know?
Going back and forth, I mean, I tell you, I was looking at practice squads when they first came out, and there's like guys with 7 years on there. I'm thinking, wait a second, did I miss something? How'd that guy end up there?
Yeah.
But, you know, that they've done some new, neat things with it. I don't know if any of them stick long term in the NFL, but I can tell you, we take note of it down here, and there will be things we apply in Canada as well. Next year.
Well, I wish you nothing but the best going forward. And uncertainty is a part of life right now for all of us, but it doesn't make it any easier. So it's fun to talk to you about all these different things. I hope we can do it again soon.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate the opportunity. And look, we were the only professional North American league that didn't play this year. And look, if that's the worst thing that happens in 2020, it's not the worst thing that happens, but there's a lot bigger problems out there. And I wish everybody the best. Be well, be safe. Stay healthy and follow the rules, and let's get through it.
And have a happy Thanksgiving tomorrow, man.
Eat a little bird and enjoy a little football.
You got it. Appreciate you, sir. Have a great Thanksgiving. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Mac. Be all the best.
You bet. Marty Buchmeyer, man. That's interesting.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.